Welcome to the Senior Zone,
where we connect older adults with the organizations and resources that serve them.
The Senior Zone's goal,
while working with local and national partners,
aims to educate, empower, enlighten, entertain, and engage older adults with the tools and information to stay healthy, happy, and secure.
Great guests, health tips, upcoming events, and useful information.
So get ready to take notes
and have some fun.
It's now time
for the Senior Zone.
Hello and good morning and welcome to the Senior Zone. I'm your host, Sean Perry, and we've got another information-packed show for you, our seniors and their caregivers, this Monday morning. So get your pen and pad ready to take some good and useful and relevant notes again this morning. Thank you again for tuning in to the Senior Zone, where it's our mandate to discover the topics and discuss the critical issues facing seniors today. Uniting seniors 50 and over with tips and directions to senior programs and services, tools and resources, events, advice, and cultural tidbits, the Senior Zone hopes to inspire, impact, influence, and improve the quality of life for older adults everywhere. Why? Simply because we care. The caller number for today's show is 240-638-5430, or you can follow us online at theseniorzone.com. In the first segment of today's show, we hope to help you reimagine life by helping you think about what you really want to achieve before it's all said and done. My guest will be the best-selling author, professor, and media personality, Dr. Christine Wheeling. And after we've achieved our goals and reimagined our life, in our second segment, we're going to learn how to document those accomplishments by creating a book to leave a legacy for our family and friends. And in our last segment, we're going to reveal our Super Senior of the Week. I can't wait for that one. You certainly don't want to miss that one. But before we begin, please allow me to thank those that keep us doing what we love to do here on the Senior Zone. And the first up is AARP, Legal Counsel for the Elderly. They provide free legal advice, assistance, and referrals to all district residents 60 years of age and older. So whether it's wills, power of attorneys, landlord-tenant disputes, estate planning, and so much more, LCE is there for you and at no cost. They can be reached at 202-434-2120. Again, that's 202-434-2120. Zero. Next up is the D.C. Office on Aging. Under the leadership of Executive Director Ms. Laura Newland, the D.C. Office on Aging develops and carries out a comprehensive and coordinated system of health, education, employment, and social services for the district's older adults, persons living with disabilities, and their caregivers. The D.C. Office on Aging, their number is 202-724-5622. That's 202-724-5622. Last, but certainly not least, Right at Home. Right at Home is the leader in the in-home senior care industry. Their trained caregivers provide the best in in-home care for seniors and disabled adults who need some assistance to maintain their independence. So if you're looking for the best in in-home care, either for yourself or your loved one, give Right at Home a call. Their number is 301-255-0066. 301-255-0066. Folks, whether this marks your first time tuning in or if you've been a regular listener for the last 3+ years, we say thank you and we hope this won't be your last time traveling through. Tell a friend, tell your pastor, tell your neighbor. Check us out on Facebook. So let's get started. With me today, we have Dr. Christine Wyland. Doctor? Dr. Christine, she's not there? We are having some technical difficulty right now. We're going to get Dr. Christine Wyland on the line shortly. My magnificent engineer is working that one out. But first, let me introduce you to her while we're working out in the background. Dr. Wyland, her bio is she's a best-selling author, professor, and media personality that shows you how to live life reimagined. Her work with Life Reimagined helps you think about what you really want to achieve, that result. A series of goals that align with your values and the willpower to make them happen. Dr. Wyland is on the faculty of the School of Human Ecology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She is the best-selling author of 3 books, including Generation WTF. WTF, that stands for Wise, Tenacious, and Fearless You, which offers you a roadmap for success by instilling lasting, positive habits. She is a frequent contributor to op-ed pages, television, and radio programs, including the Wall Street Journal, the Washington Post, USA Today, Chronicle Higher Education, Forbes, Good Morning America, and now the Senior Zone. I believe she is on the line. Dr. Wallen, she's not there? She's not there? Okay. You know, it's always some technical difficulties. We've got to prepare for the unknown, and this is what we're doing live. So we're going to work out Dr. Wallen when she gets on the line. But with me in the studio, my good friend John Stevenson has just walked in from Vision for Change. How are you doing, John Stevenson?
I'm doing good, sir. How are you?
We are doing well. We are managing on the fly.
Yes, we are. That's how we do it.
That's just how we do it. So in case we are unable to get her, we're just going to, you know, revamp this interview and this discussion. And I just want to prick, you know, your mind.
Okay.
And let's talk about, you know, AARP has come up with this, you know, concept of reimagining life. Mm-hmm. And when I first heard that, I like that word, reimagine.
I love that word.
You know, because we think about when we're kids, you know, we're always dreaming and imagining what life is going to be like, mm-hmm. you know, once we leave home and get from under the throngs of our parents. But that word reimagined, mm-hmm. I like that, you know, because at the age of 50 and over, we've lived our life where we've just been about acquiring stuff, getting stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's not until we can have a pause in our life, possibly, mm-hmm. where we can start giving back and thinking about what the next half of our life will be like. Mm-hmm. Do we start reimagining, you know, reinventing ourselves? Mm-hmm. What does that mean to you, if I can just put you on the spot?
Reimagine is it's that wisdom that we get, Sean. You know, I think when you get, especially in a senior age, one of the things that we find is that we see life from a different perspective. And so the younger generation, they have their way of seeing things, and it's great to dream. But now when you get to a certain age, you begin to utilize the wisdom, the things that you have gone through, and now you can see life from a different perspective. And that's why I said I love that word reimagine. It's like, okay, I can see things now from another perspective, mm-hmm. and it makes life just more sweeter to me, you know, because now it's not so, you know, I'm an anxious man, but, you know, the older I get, I say, okay, you know what? It's going to be what it's going to be, especially if you're married. You know, when you're first married, in the first years of marriage, you're wanting things to be a certain way. But now my wife and I, we're just kind of less taking life as it comes, and mm-hmm. we're seeing different things. You know, even the Bible tells us that old men will see visions, young men see visions. But then when you get older, you're kind of like looking back at those visions that you had in the past, and you kind of see it from a different perspective, Sean. Yeah. So I like that word reimagine, because it still gives you out there, almost like the make-believe, you know, just remake-believing.
Okay. Folks, the guest that I had planned to come in, she is not available. So again, we are managing on the fly, dealing with life circumstances as they come about. And God has blessed me with the presence of my good friend, Elder John Stevenson for Vision of Change. You're going to hear about his show coming up at 11:30 today. So stay tuned for that. But back to just reimagining, you know, life. Sometimes it's not easy. You know, we've been stuck in a trench, you know, in life and stuck in our ways. To try to reinvent yourself can be kind of fearful. Mm-hmm. You know, just trying to step out and do something totally different. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe going back to school or taking up an activity, piano lessons or a marathon or what have you. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm going to talk about a guest of mine, my super senior of the week today, John. Uh-huh. You know, she's a phenomenal. She reimagined herself. Uh-huh. And when we talk about her at the end of the show, you're going to see what I'm talking about there. But you're approaching 50.
Yes, sir.
Right? You're still a youngin.
Yeah,
you
know, I'm still
qualified to be here in the Senior Zone.
Not yet, but I've got a few more months, and I'll be joining the AARP club. Actually, they sent me my card last year, so I'm to be. They saw it coming for me.
Yeah, they saw it. They haven't found me yet, and I'm in my 50s.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I had to go out and find them. But you know what I think about, like reimagining myself. I don't think about it in terms of things to do, mm-hmm. like activities, like I want to, or traveling. Mm-hmm. I do more introspection. You know, how can I, you know, look back on my life and see where my imperfections were, mm-hmm. where some of my vulnerabilities and some of my fears, mm-hmm. you know, were, as I'm able to look back on my life, mm-hmm. and see how I can tackle some of those still.
Oh, that's excellent, Sean.
Because I still have fears. Mm-hmm. You know, I still have vulnerabilities. Mm-hmm. You know, I deal with a lot of self-doubt, mm-hmm. you know, all the time. I try to fight that. Mm-hmm. And that's how I'm trying to reimagine myself. It's not about some bucket list. And that's fine if you have a bucket list.
Right.
You know, the things you still want to do mm-hmm. in life. But mine is more, you know, introspection. Mm-hmm. You know, how can I change the Sean that I've been so I can become the Sean that I, you know, want to be. Mm-hmm. And what inspired me, you know, to think like that was something real simple. Someone said, you know, write your obituary.
Ooh.
You know, write your obituary now.
Uh-huh.
You know, what do you want people to read and say about you,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you're laying down horizontally with a tag on your toe.
Right.
You know, and start living up to that. It mm-hmm. could be, some of the things you've done and where you've been, or it could be about your character
mm-hmm.
and what legacy, you know, you leave behind. And that's what kind of inspired me to start thinking, okay, I got to clean some things up.
Right.
And, you know, in my life. So that's just my bandwagon, you know, mm-hmm. on trying to reimagine life. Yours?
I don't know. I still have a lot of vision, you know. Mm-hmm. I have some things now that, you know, my wife and I, we have 5 children, and the children are grown now. And so now it's a different phase for us in our life. I read a book on the life of Ray Kroc. Ray Kroc was the gentleman who purchased the McDonald's
mm-hmm.
from the McDonald's brothers. I think he was about 55, and he was a milkshake machine salesman. And one of the things that just inspired me is that, okay, he's 55. He saw an opportunity, and he had a vision. I guess we can say it was reimagining something. Mm-hmm. He took what was a drive-up restaurant that sold hot dogs and other things, and he decided, hey, I can take this and turn this into something different and franchise it. And now people are living in his reimagination of a restaurant franchise that's, you know, I guess their motto is over a billion sold, you know, and was years ago. So I'm sure there's a few billions that have been sold since then. But in that biography, I think it was in 1974, he spoke at an Ivy League school. And one of the, he was out with some of the gentlemen after the speech he had made. And one of the young gentlemen, college students, asked him, you know, he asked them a question, rather, what business am I in? And some of them looked at him as he was crazy, saying, okay, you sell hamburgers. You're a billionaire. You own a McDonald's. And he said, no, actually, I am in real estate. Because mm-hmm. at the time, all of the franchises, they owned the land that mm-hmm. every McDonald's was built on.
Yeah.
And he said, I use the hamburgers to get the real estate. And so now you reimagine to reimagine.
Right,
you know?
Right,
so
right.
I'll get the restaurant, but then I see something else. Hey, there's real estate in this. And so it's always inspired me to read his story because he saw something, even at the age of 55, that I can still do something great. And eventually he bought a baseball team and did some wonderful things. Mm-hmm. So he saw something. You know, just in selling these milkshake machines, he came across these guys at this restaurant trying to sell milkshake machines and made a deal with them. And then the latter part of his life apparently seemed to have been greater than the front part of his life.
And, you know, some of us are late bloomers.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and some of us have just been going through a journey and God has been working some things out
mm-hmm.
on our behalf. And the revelation isn't revealed until you're 50 and over.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's a good thing. You know what I'm going to start talking about, John, you know, as I move forward and I'm growing in my seniorhood, my elderhood, changing the mindset of aging.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see, you know, and this includes family members, mm-hmm. you know, far too many people when they hit a certain number, 62 to get the Social Security, 65 to get their Medicare, mm-hmm. you know, that they start acting old. And assuming that they're old because mm-hmm. they've reached a certain number.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I want to change the socialization of how we think about, you know, aging and growing older. Because there's far too many people that are doing wonderful and remarkable and extraordinary and exceptional things, you know, right. in their 70s and 80s and 90s and even in their 100s.
Yes, sir.
You know, yes, sir. And the life expectancy for most is now approaching 80 on mm-hmm. average, 80, you know, in the low 80s.
Yeah.
On average as a life expectancy. So if you're giving it up at 65 or so, you got 20 years of life to live.
Yeah. And you and I talk, you know, definitely off air, just they got to live. I just, you know, you can just remind me, Sean, there is a group. We've had them on the show here before mm-hmm. where the seniors live with the younger adults.
Yeah. It's an effort by the District of Columbia to provide intergenerational housing.
Right.
Where they cohabitate, you know, seniors with young folks. And it's also in the District of Columbia and throughout the country as well. Many other jurisdictions have it, where they have a grandparents foster, a foster grandparent program, mm-hmm. you know, where they marry up, you know, grandparents and the elderly with young folks who need it also. Mm-hmm. But that's a wonderful thing because mm-hmm. now you're marrying up that wisdom, mm-hmm. you know, that mm-hmm. experience with youth.
Yes.
And that youth will need someone to look up to. So, you know, it's a wonderful thing there to, and it creates, you know, it gives you energy.
That's why I brought it up. I think it brings that vitality and the excitement because I think you gravitate to who you're around, mm-hmm. you know, and it gets you to move in, you know, if I'm around. That's why we get personal trainers.
Yeah.
to help us to move around and it's people who are better than us in something in the area, especially like working out.
Yeah.
So I think if you take a senior and you, parent them up with the younger generation, you know, they get the wisdom, you get the vitality as a partnership, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, my friend, I want to thank you for just jumping in behind this steering wheel of mine over here.
No
you
problem.
Know, we've managed, you know, to get through this particular segment. We have Dr. Christine Wyden back on the show. We've had some technical issues with reaching her. So we'll reschedule her and bring her back to talk about sticking to resolutions and pursuing your goals and reimagining your life. But up next, we're going to talk about how to create a book to leave a legacy for you and your family. For now, this is Yes, You Can by Donnie McClurkin, brought to you by our friends over at AARP, Legal Counsel for the Elderly.
Listen, gather, I found something for you. If you listen well, I'm here to tell you you can not lose. Oh, a simple song, simple melody, yeah. To remind you that you can be the greatest ever, defeated never. Oh, even though sometimes you may lose, oh my. Yes, you can now.
You can do anything if you try.
Oh.
Just try.
Oh my.
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can now.
But you have to believe and rely on what you have inside.
You can make it.
You can make it.
Through your trials.
Through your trials.
Oh my.
Well, your trials will just make you strong.
You can do it.
You can.
For that day to prove.
I had money problems for several months and couldn't pay my rent. I explained the situation to my landlord, but he still says he's going to evict me. Is there anything I can do?
I gave out my personal information to someone over the phone who promised to lower my mortgage rate. I wish I hadn't fallen for that trick. Does that mean I'll lose my house?
Sadly, not having the resources for representation is a common reason many seniors are unable to protect themselves. For 40 years, Legal Counsel for the Elderly has been providing free legal services for D.C. seniors who can't afford their own. If you or someone you know is a D.C. resident 60 or older who needs legal help, please visit aarp.org/LCE or call 202-434-2120. Legal Counsel for the Elderly. We're here to defend the rights of D.C. seniors because everyone is entitled to lawful benefits and fairness in the justice system. Visit aarp.org/LCE or call 202-434-2120. Legal Counsel for the Elderly is a nonprofit charitable affiliate of AARP.
Good morning. We are back. This is the Senior Zone. I am your host, Sean Perry. This beautiful Monday morning, snow-free, rain-free Monday morning. With me, this segment is Mr. Michael Levine. Michael, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you doing this morning, sir?
Great, Sean. How are you?
I am doing quite well. I have to do two things, Michael, so please excuse me. There is a 82-year-old senior in Leisure World. That's in Silver Spring, Maryland here, and I promised her I would give her a shout-out this morning. So before I forget, please allow me to say good morning, Miss Frankie Williamson from Leisure World in Silver Spring, Maryland. Thank you for calling me. Thank you for listening. I look forward to seeing you soon. So, Michael, thank you for allowing me to do that, sir. For our guest this morning, we're going to talk about creating a book that where one can leave a legacy for one's family and friends. And my guest to help me have this discussion is Mr. Michael Levine. Michael and his team have written, co-written, created, or ghostwritten more than 270 books, wow, of which 11 are national bestsellers, 2 are New York Times bestsellers, and 1 is an Amazon Kindle number 1 best-selling business book. Michael has appeared on the first episode of season 3 of ABC's Shark Tank. That's one of my favorite shows, Michael. He's a regular contributor to the Huffington Post and is most proud of having edited Zig Ziglar's final book, Born to Win. He has co-written books with Baseball Hall of Famer Dave Winfield, football broadcasting legend Pat Summerall, and so many more. He's also published 5 of his own novels. I've just qualified you, Michael, to have this discussion with me this morning.
You know, Sean, you were going on so long, I thought we were going to run out of time, so I appreciate that.
I know. That does happen sometimes. And I edited it down a little bit. You know, I didn't read all of your bio. So I'm curious, early in the show, we were going to talk about reimagining one's life and reinventing oneself. But if one goes through that process of doing, such a thing, it's going to be a time in their life where they want to kind of document what they've done, highlight, the highlights of their life and leave that sort of information, for their family and friends. So let's have that discussion about just leaving a legacy, for family and friends. Why is that so important?
Sean, most of the time when people get older, they start to focus on the financial aspects of their legacy. They go to their attorney, they get a trust, they get all that sort of financial stuff taken care of, their will. And so, okay, good. So, but the thing is that they don't always focus on their story. And when they go, the story goes, unless they take the time to write it down. And, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren know you as the lovely, nice, great-grandmother, grandmother, grandfather, whatever. But they don't know what you went through. They don't understand the legacy that you created. They don't understand what you had to overcome in order to succeed in life. Mm-hmm. And that's why one of the things we do in my company is we work with people who want to ghostwrite stories and guide them as to how to get that story down on paper so that they're able to preserve it. And because I'll tell you something, inheriting money, you can say it's good, you can say it's bad, but inheriting a story and understanding who you are and whose you are and the people that you come from and how they sacrifice to make your life possible, that's a win for everybody.
Yeah, and I can, and that's something that will endure and last, you know, forever as well, and just be handed down from generation to generation. But before we get into that, let's just talk a little bit more about, you know, some of your background and some of what you've done. You know, the first memoir you wrote was a Holocaust survivor story, Your Cousin Abe. Tell our listeners, or share more of our listeners about that story.
Oh, sure. My cousin Abe was in the concentration camps for about 5 years, and he was one of Schindler's Jews. So if your listeners saw Schindler's List, he was one of the Jews who was really, whose lives was saved by Oskar Schindler. And this is about 1986, and his grandson was having a bar mitzvah, and it was this huge celebration. And, you know, Abe was up there when he was speaking, literally in tears, and he was saying when he was 15, 16, 17 years old, and he was working as an electrician in concentration camp factories, he never imagined as slave labor. He never imagined that one day he would be in America and having a party like this for his grandson. He never imagined that he would have a family or a future. And so his, you know, tears are streaming down his face. Now, meanwhile, his grandson, 13 years old, wasn't really paying attention to his grandfather. He's back there goofing with his friends, as 13-year-olds will. And the contrast between the two, you know, the emotions of my cousin, who was, you know, in his, I guess, 60s or 70s at the time, and my, I guess 60s at the time, and his grandson were so striking. And when he finished speaking, we just sort of looked at each other, and we knew we had to do this. Mm-hmm. And it took 4 years, but we captured his story, and it's one of the few survivor stories that's been sold at the Holocaust Museum in Washington. And, you know, it really... it opened the door for him to be able to talk with his kids and grandchildren about what he went through, I think, in ways that he might not have ever been able to do that before. Yeah. And it was a powerful experience for me, too, trust me.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we're talking about, you know, this morning, handing down those sorts of stories, those treasures, good and bad, you know, but it's historical, yeah. And it gives, you know, the next generation some perspective on from whom and from which they've come from, their lineage there. You've since written dozens of other memoirs, Michael. What kind of stories are they?
Well, it varies. I mean, we did a story of a man who was 95 years old, and his daughter hired us as a gift to him, and we were able to capture his story, which basically paralleled the entire 20th century. You know, he remembered when cars came in. He remembered, you know, he was able to go down every president from the 1920s on. Mm-hmm. One thing that he said that was really striking was it's so different from today. He said that he and his friends really never even heard about sex until they were about 15 or 16. You know, it just wasn't, if you can imagine. So, you know, it's a slightly different world.
Yeah, not in today's social media.
No, I'd say not. So that was those sort of things that you learn from people. We've done memoirs where we focus on a specific period of time in a person's life, and then we've done memoirs that are really full-on biographies where we're telling the story of, you know, one person who was a philanthropist and he had three different careers and all were highly successful. And he was in Los Angeles. He financed the buses that took the Los Angeles people to the who were part of it, to the Martin Luther King march, in D.C. Yeah, and so, you know, these are stories that once the person dies, or the child, the, you know, the adult child of that person dies, the stories are gone. So, you know, and then we did my mom's family. My grandfather he was living in Belgium in 1939 when the Second World War began, and he recognized that this was not going to end well. And rather than wait and take any chances, he immediately bundled up his family, and they were literally refugees for a year to a year and a half, going from Belgium to France, France into Spain, Spain to Cuba, and they spent the war in, they spent 6 years in Havana. So we did a memoir. My mother now has Alzheimer's, and she had a stroke. But her memory is absolutely solid when it comes to the old days. And, I mean, she still knows who we are. It hasn't advanced that far. But she did a phenomenal job recollecting her life from about age 3 or 4, which is when the war started, till, you know, about 7 years later when they left Cuba for the United States and started their new life in New York. And you know, again, it's the same thing with my kids. I have four young kids. They're 15 down to 8, and they know my mother is the nice lady who loves them but can't really move around too much.
Yeah.
They had no, you know, until they read the book, they had no idea. But the older ones, they had no idea what she had been through.
And that's what it's all about. You know, Michael, I go around, you know, quite frequently, and I speak. I do, you know, if you want to call it speaking, more pontificating. I don't know if that's the right word, but I speak to seniors lately, and I'm on this bandwagon of reinventing yourself, reimagining your life, changing the way you thought the aging process, you know, should be. Times have changed. We're living longer, medical advances, you know. And so I speak to folks about, you know, still living life and living life, you know, to its fullest and living it with intention. And I'll hear people say, well, I've always thought I would, you know, want to do a marathon or write a book or some other sort of activity, but yet they don't get engaged. And so when I heard of you and the sort of interview that we were having, I just knew that, you know, many would be affected by this. So let's try to educate them a little bit on creating and writing a book and leaving a legacy for their friends and families. First, is a memoir the same thing as an autobiography?
Yeah, basically. You know, but before I answer that, I just want to come back to something that you said, because I applaud you for what you're doing, Sean. I think you're putting years on people's lives by telling them, reminding them to have purpose again. And there's a business coach named Dan Sullivan in my life who puts it beautifully. He says, stop giving death an assist. You know, stop making it easy. And the thing is that, you know, once you tell yourself, well, I've done everything I'm do, you know, you're basically giving your body permission to shut down and die.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I just want to applaud you for the message that you're taking to the audiences that you're speaking in front of. And to answer your question, I wouldn't get too hung up on the terms. I think memoir and autobiography can pretty much mean the same thing. Sometimes when I think of a memoir, it just means one specific period in a person's life, when they started a business or when they came to America, or in my mother's case, when they were on the run, you know, and if you don't have to do the whole life, because I think, Sean, a lot of times when people say, I'd like to write a book about my life, they're afraid that if they do that, they're going to have to put in the good, the bad, and the ugly. And they're going to have to write about the time that, you know, Uncle Charlie got drunk at Thanksgiving and the divorce and when, you know, when Sally had cancer. And the reality is that you don't have to put any of that stuff in. You know, you just leave it all out. Nobody wants to see it. And sometimes your first draft of your book is what I call the therapy draft. You just get everything, get it all down on paper, get it out of your head. And then once you look at it on paper, either you or somebody else is going to say, oh, no, we cannot put that in the book. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you don't have to include all the negative stuff. Just focus on the positive message that you want to share with your loved ones.
And for those that may, you know, be challenged in terms of, you know, their writing ability, writing skills, level of articulation, what would you convey to them? But they still have the intention of wanting to, you know, kind of chronicle, you know, their life or a period of their life.
Well, you know, you've got two options. One is that you can just go down to the local college or university and hire a student from the creative writing department or the journalism department and just have that person come in and interview you. And you're going to get, if you do an hour interview with somebody, you'll get between 12 and 15 pages of book. So if people don't want to read War and Peace today. They don't want huge tomes. Mm-hmm. So if you're aiming for 75, my mother's book was 50 pages. If you're aiming for 50, 75, 100 pages, it's really not more than 6-7 hours of interviewing. And then just hire that. You can just hire that person to interview you and then turn each interview into a chapter. And then you've got a manuscript. You can hire a company like ours. You know, I have a company called Business Ghost, and we did 50 books last year. A number of them, a lot were business books, but a lot were memoirs. So you don't have to do the writing. You can bring somebody else in, and you can do it. You know, I mean, certainly you can hire us, which would be great. But the thing is that you can just go down the street, because you've got college and grad students who would be thrilled to make a few dollars and then have a credit to their name. Oh, yes, I wrote a book for so-and-so, and that launches their career. yeah. at the same time that you're getting really quality work done. So that would be my suggestion.
Yeah, good advice, good advice. And it's a win-win, you know, all around. Would you suggest, and I think you've kind of alluded to it earlier, would you suggest that when you're doing your memoir or your book that you try to cover the, you know, the entire span of one's life, or just focus on a period of one's life?
Well, it just depends on what you want to get across to. You want to think about the reader. What would the reader be most interested in? Is it one particular real highlight section of your life, or is it the whole thing? And I'm almost tempted to suggest that you just pick out the one time in your life or the few times in your life that are really going to be the most interesting, because if you try to do a full-on autobiography, it could run to hundreds of pages, and the likelihood is that, you know, a person's going to get distracted and bored with the project, or just, you know, assume no one will have interest and quit on it long before it's finished. Whereas if you're just trying to, you know, you're just picking one aspect of your life and you're just doing 50 to 75 pages, chances are you'll get that done. And then, you know what, then go ahead, finish that, and then go write the whole big memoir, or the whole big autobiography.
Gotcha. So for, I call all of my female seniors anyway, the Hattie Mays, Miss Hattie May out there. She's went through the process of creating her memoir or writing an autobiography. Now she is ready to, and I don't mean any slight on the men, but she's now ready to get that book published. It sounds like it would be an expensive project. Can she get it done inexpensively?
Yes, absolutely. The least expensive way to get something done is with Amazon. They have a company called CreateSpace, Create and then SPACE. You can just Google that, and they will publish a book for next to nothing. I mean, it's in the tens of dollars. It's not even in the hundreds of dollars. You can upload your own cover. You can use a photo. You can take a family photo and turn that into a cover. You can do that really quickly, easily, and You can use those tools and get it laid out, or you can just do it as a, you know, you can just take the thing, upload the Word doc from your computer, and boom, and they'll set it in type. So that's the least expensive. There are companies out there that I will not name that charge thousands of dollars and really rip people off. They just offer all kinds of upsells and cross sells and star marketing program, this, that, and the other thing. And it's just unfortunate. They take incredible advantage of people who are well-meaning and perhaps a little bit naive, and they just see them coming. So, yeah.
Well, we won't waste our time and space talking about those irreputable, you know, firms or companies out there. We're going to stay positive here, and we're going to talk about businessghost.com. That's your website and business as well. But before we get there, so, and I like the fact that we can do this for, you know, tens of dollars versus hundreds of dollars via Amazon, the CreateSpace link there. So one has, you know, created their memoir. They're getting it published. How do they go about promoting it? Do they, you know, using traditional versus social media?
Yeah, well, it just depends on their goals. If a lot of folks just want to have a book for their friends and family, mm-hmm. and then others want to make a splash with it, I'll just say this: it's a really hard thing today to make money selling copies of books. There are fewer and fewer book readers. There are fewer and fewer bookstores. Certainly, there's Amazon, but there are 7 million books on Amazon. So, you know, you have to make a very strong case for somebody reading yours.
Yeah.
You can hire a book publicist, and they can get you media. They could, Sean, they could come on your show. But the thing is that even if you hire somebody to do that, there's no guarantee that those appearances are going to turn into book sales. The better way is to just save your money, and instead of using a book promoter, just use a lot of elbow grease and blast your book out on social media. Blast your book out to websites and places that seniors frequent. Or if your book has a particular, let's say it's a World War II story, there are a lot of World War II websites and chat groups and so on online. Find them and just, you know, talk up your book appropriately in those settings, and don't spend any money doing it. The other thing is, you want to contact your local libraries, women's clubs, men's clubs, business groups, whatever's appropriate, and pitch yourself as a speaker. Send a copy copy of the book and say, I'm a local author. I'd love to come and speak about my book. And then if you go there, if there are 50 people in the audience, you're going to sell 50 copies or more. And if your book is faith-based, go sell it in church. Go, you know, do an evening, do an event at your synagogue, do something, because there's an enormous appetite for books that are faith-based. And if you get on the megachurch circuit, you can be speaking in front of 5, 10, 15,000 people on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just hope your Medicare covers your writer's cramp, because you're going to be signing a lot of autographs.
Yeah, I like the idea, Michael, that you know, one may not have that sort of lofty goal to really try to sell their memoir, but just creating it as a priceless treasure for their friends and for their family to have and to hold on to, you know, when you're no longer here. They have, you know, some connection with you and your past and what that experience was like. I think that's probably be by and large where many will want to exercise this sort of effort to document what their life and life experiences has been like, but really didn't know how to go about it until today. And I like your idea of going to the local community college and hiring a writer, and maybe they may do it at pro bono just for the experience alone. I think that's one way of getting it done and accomplishing, you know, that goal. But let's talk about Business Ghost real quick. I want to give you an opportunity to speak to our listeners before I let you go. Time is running out. What services, you know, do you provide, and how can people get in touch with Business Ghost?
Oh, sure. Basically, we do everything you need in order to make your book happen, and whatever combination of things you need. We will plan it with you. We will interview you and write it for you. If you write it yourself, we'll coach you or edit it, depending on what you want, in order to make sure that the book is as good as it can be. And then we will publish for you, and we'll do a beautiful, beautiful job. Our books are just as good as, just as attractive as the ones published in New York, because we use the same designers, the same printers. We just do it better and for less money. If you want to go the sort of the least expensive route, use CreateSpace. But if you want something that's going to be really, really beautiful and really captures your story professionally and just in the best way possible, the website is Business Ghost, G-H-O-S-T, like Casper the Friendly Ghost, mm-hmm. businessghost.com. And folks can reach us. You can write to me at michael@businessghost.com, or they can call us toll-free. It's 800-637-6856. But the easiest thing is just drop me a note, michael@businessghost.com. Or if your listeners have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them for no charge. And they'll just, you know, whatever I can, however I can be useful, I'll be happy to.
Yeah, well, Michael, you have some of the, you know, my mental energy churning right now. I see a senior zone sort of book coming out in the years ahead. Let me gain some experience here first. We're only in our fourth year, so I think I need a little more time, but I can visualize a senior zone sort of book coming out. So I'll certainly keep you in mind, but stay in touch with us, Michael, as well. This has been Michael, is it Levine or Levin?
It's Levin, but anything is fine.
Levin. Michael Levin with Business Ghost. He can be reached at 800-637-6856, or you can email him at michael@businessghost.com. Michael, I want to thank you for your time and coming on to the Senior Zone. I appreciate it so very much, my friend.
Sean, it's been my pleasure, my friend. Thank you for having me, and let's do it again anytime.
Thank you, sir.
You too.
This next break is brought to you by good friends over at Right at Home. Still to come, senior spotlight and announcements in 5 minutes. Here is Blessed Assurance by Mr. Kevin Medill. Thank you.
Right at Home is a special kind of company for seniors and others who need care at home. We start with a full assessment of a person's situation. Then we create a customized plan and match up a caregiver.
We take them from disconnected to connected.
Our professionals help with basic tasks like preparing meals or medication monitoring. We provide support and transportation to doctor's visits and social events.
They become involved instead of uninvolved.
We'll take them where they want to go and help them keep doing the things that they enjoy.
With us, care is consistent, not inconsistent.
And every Right at Home caregiver is reliable, trained, and background checked.
So you can go from uncertain to certain.
It's the right care. Right at Home. Call Right at Home at 301-255-0066. We'll set up a free in-home consultation at your convenience. That's 301-255-0066.
Good morning. We are back. This is the Senior Zone. I'm your host, Sean Perry, and it is Super Senior of the Week time, and boy, do we have one for you. This morning, the Super Senior of the Week is a recognition by the Senior Zone of an exceptional older adult doing extraordinary things in his or her life and within the local community in spite of their age. So in today's Super Senior, we highlight a remarkable woman who has lived each day with intention and full of purpose and continues to do so at the ripe young age of 104. I'm speaking about Miss Nola Oach. I hope I pronounced her name correctly. She is what we're calling the senior freshman. She's Kansas-born. Nola Oach took her first college course at Fort Hays State University in 1930, but didn't complete her degree until 2007 at the age of 95, becoming the nation's oldest college graduate. After raising four sons and becoming a grandmother to 13 and great-grandmother to 15, Miss Nola started taking a few classes at her local community college to keep herself busy, she says. Before she knew it, she was just 30 hours shy of a bachelor's degree, and she decided to re-enroll at Fort Hays State University. But graduating with a 3.7 GPA alongside her 21-year-old granddaughter wasn't quite enough for Miss Nola. She then decided to get her master's degree in liberal studies, which she received from Fort Hays State University in May of 2010 at the age of 98. Now at the age of 104, she says she would like, in the long run, to encourage people to keep on learning and that education is never complete. Congratulations to Miss Nola Oaks as our Super Senior of the Week here on the Senior Zone. To have your name mentioned and in contention for a Super Senior of the Week, you can reach us at info@theseniorzone.com. That's info@theseniorzone.com. Or you can call us at 800-217-1984. In the Senior Zone news and announcements, the Senior Connection is looking for volunteers to drive seniors to medical and other appointments. The next training session will take place this Wednesday, February 24th at 7 p.m. at the Holiday Park Senior Center in Silver Spring, Maryland. For more information there, call 301-926-0820. 301-926-0820. The D.C. Office on Aging, they're still looking for people 100 and over to honor at their annual centenarian event to celebrate the district's oldest residents. So if you know of a centenarian, someone over 100 that should be honored, please make sure that they are registered with the D.C. Office on Aging. To register, call 202-724-5622. Also with the D.C. Office on Aging, they have a new program, and I learned so much more about it this past week. It's called Safe at Home, and it promotes aging in place for older adults, 60 years of age and older, and persons living with a disability by offering up to $10,000. That's $10,000 in home accessibility grants to help reduce the risk of falls and reduce barriers that limit one's mobility. To get more information on this program or to begin the application process, call the Safe at Home program at 202-638-0050. That's 202-638-0050. It also applies to renters and homeowners. Yes, renters and homeowners. So make that call to Safe at Home. In recognition of the Macular Degeneration Awareness Month, the National Eye Institute will discuss research initiatives to protect existing sight. On Sunday, this upcoming Sunday, February 28th, from 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. at the Sibley Medical Building in Northwest D.C. If you're interested and for more information, call 202-234-1010. That's 202-234-1010. If you're still looking for volunteer opportunities, AARP is looking for you. They are seeking volunteers age 50 and over to mentor students in kindergarten through third grade. So if you live in the D.C. area, you can sign up for an ongoing training program by calling 877-926-8300. That's 877-926-8300. Each Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., that's 10:30 to 11:30 a.m., Holy Cross Hospital provides a caregiver support group for adult children caring for their aging parents. For more information and to register and get your seat reserved, call 301-754-7152, 301-754-7152. On a lighter note, get your tickets now. I'm always excited to talk about the Senior Zone's upcoming midday gala on the Bay. It's going to be Tuesday, March 1st from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Chesapeake Beach Spa and Resort. Live entertainment, food, dance, and so much more. Invite your friends, call your family members, bring your coworkers down with you. Tell everybody to meet us down at the Chesapeake Beach Spa and Resort on Tuesday, March 1st from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's a surefire good time and open to the public for all. Lastly, again, to have your event or announcement mentioned here on the Senior Zone or to share your thoughts about today's show or recommendations for future broadcasts, the Senior Zone can be reached at 800-217-1984. 800-217-1984. Be sure to join us next Monday, where our guest will be AARP Legal Counsel for the Elderly and Ward 4 Councilmember Brandon Todd. Yes, Ward 4 Councilmember Brandon Todd will be here in studio with us next Monday. Until then, have an intentionally blessed week.
Be sure to join us on our next broadcast.
Until then,
live simply,
love generously,
care deeply,
speak kindly,
and leave the rest to God. Have a wonderful week, and God willing, the Senior Zone will be here for another informative and entertaining hour next Monday morning at 10 a.m.